show is on in less than 1 minute.
Life! Life, do you hear me? Give my creation life!
So this was fun.
You're gonna like this.
Let go!
Right now!
Well, this is it.
Let's get this over with.
So this is good. We got progress.
Are there any questions before we proceed?
Get countdown. Six, five, four, three, two, one.
You have entered the restricted broadcast area. You have entered the restricted broadcast area.
What your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show. The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Yes, indeed. Guy James here. You are listening to The Guy James Show, coming to you from the blue waters and sandy beaches of beautiful Southwest Florida. And so happy to have each and every one of you along with me here today on the Head On Radio Network. My, oh my, it's Tuesday already. the time nowadays is flying. Is it that way with you? I think there's so much news to try and keep track of, so many issues out there today, that it's just almost impossible to keep all up with all of them in a comprehensive way the way we'd like to. We try, but it's very difficult to do so. But anyway, that's what we do here. We try and keep up on the issues of the day and talk about them, discuss them with you, get your opinions on them, tell you our opinions on them. We do hope you'll give us a call on the show, 866-546-5254. That's 866-546-5254 to call into the Guy James Show. Hey, I do want to let everybody know that doesn't already know. Many of you listening to the program right now know because you've been to the website to listen to the program. We have a new website. And I'd like to thank Faye Lynn for putting that up. She worked hard and long on that, and we're still tweaking it to get it where we want to be. Kind of a new, fresh look, clean and lean and mean, if you know what I mean. I thought the other one was getting a bit too crowded and all, so, and it's time for a change, period. We're liberal progressive after all. We don't sit here and do the same thing year after year after year in the same way, same old way. Time for a change. So, a little facelift there. We hope you enjoy the new site. We've got a lot of new links on it on the link page. Do want to let you know that we've got the Unreported News Network .net linked on there. Sarge and all the gang over there, Billy Shears, our music director. And we're proud of the site, and it'll be getting, we'll be getting more and more things on it all the time. And if you get a chance, stop on over and see, I've done a lot of voiceover work in my lifetime. We came up with a bit that I think you might enjoy hearing if you're a Democrat. On the front page of the site, there's a new audio there about Democrats. You might want to give that a listen. We did that for a Democratic organization, and I thought it would be good to put it up on the site. Anyway, glad to have all of you along with us. It was an eventful weekend. The weekend's still going on for all of our Congress critters. They're on hiatus this week, so things are a little quiet in Washington, D.C. We won't have quite as much bloviating going on as we normally do. As you know, they've worked very hard now for nearly 2 months, and so they needed a week off for President's Day, turned into President's Week. And do you agree with some of the other commentators you hear on that President's Day really doesn't mean a whole lot? I have to agree. If it's down to the point where we're supposedly honoring all of the presidents, nah, phooey. It's kind of ridiculous because there are some presidents amongst the 43 that have done the job that that don't deserve any praise, that don't deserve to be honored. And I can think of a handful of them. Well, we don't have to look far for one of them. Little Junior Bush, is it first comes to mind, is probably the worst president we've ever had. And Warren Harding is right in there. He was a pretty bad president. We had Harrison had only made it for a month. That didn't make him bad, just make him very unlucky. 30 days, all it was. Who else? Well, I didn't think Reagan was all that great. You talk about spending money, a man that supposedly was a conservative and spent money like a whole shipload of drunken sailors. I don't know. And also, you might want to think about, let's see, who else is the very worst? Hoover? I don't know. Yes, we suffered two bad times with Hoover. He was pretty unlucky. He's a smart guy. But he was pretty unlucky to be around the time he was. The forces at work for the Depression and all were really at work and brewing in the whole world before Hoover ever took over. So it wasn't entirely his fault. Anyway, I digress. President's Day yesterday. Some of them deserved our praise. Some of them don't. Personally, I wish it'd go back to just being Washington and Lincoln. That's enough for me right there. Washington and Lincoln. And you know, the more I read about Lincoln, I mean, I've always known that he was a wise man, and I was looking for a little article I had here someplace. Always known that he was a wise man, and you read various things about Lincoln. Some people think, well, he was a backwoods type guy and didn't have any couth, any manners, all this sort of thing. But I found a quote by Abraham Lincoln that I thought, you know, this makes the guy a genius or somebody that could see into the future very, very clearly. And let me just read you this quote by Honest Abe. I came across this a couple of days ago. And I quote, "I see in the near future a crisis approaching that unnerves me and causes me to tremble for the safety of my country. As a result of the war, corporations have been enthroned, and an era of corruption in high places will follow, and the money power of the country will endeavor to prolong its reign by working upon the prejudices of the people until all of the wealth is aggregated in a few hands and the republic is destroyed. I feel at this moment more anxiety than ever before, even in the midst of war." Abraham Lincoln, November 21st, 1864. Could he see into the future or not? And, of course, we can't remember Dwight Eisenhower saying, beware of the military-industrial complex. He also knew very well what he was talking about. So, Abraham Lincoln, a brilliant man. And it's funny to me that they claim Abraham Lincoln as being the man who really was at the beginning of the Republican Party. God knows if Abraham Lincoln were alive today and were president today, he sure as hell wouldn't be a Republican now, would he? I think not. The man cared about a lot of things. He cared about the people. He warned about the corporations. Abraham Lincoln most certainly would be a Democrat today if he were alive. His policies, procedures, his thinking went right down the path of the Democratic Party. So amuses me when the Republicans like to talk about him as being their big-time Republican, you know. I do a little housekeeping here before we go any farther. Tomorrow, I'm going to have somebody on the program that a lot of you know of, have heard of. You've seen him all over TV and so forth. I'm going to have Larry Johnson. Larry Johnson worked with the CIA and the U.S. He was U.S. State Department's officer office in the Office of Counterterrorism, and he's a recognized expert in the field of terrorism and aviation security and crisis and risk management. He's been on all the shows, Nightline, NBC, Today Show, CNN, Fox, and he's been everywhere, and he's going to be on our program tomorrow, and we're going to talk about the shameless, and God dang, I mean shameless, article on the front page of the Washington Post on Sunday by that bitch, Victoria Tensing, wife of Joe DiGenova, two right-wing pukes, if there ever was any. Two of them did over 300 interviews on Talking Head TV during the Clinton impeachment. They drove the damn thing, for God's sake. These people... these people are just... I agree with Larry Johnson and some others that commented on her article that it was the closest thing to jury tampering right out in the open that I have ever seen. She wrote an article that surely all the jurors involved in the Scooter Libby trial will read. I hope to God it doesn't affect any of them. If they're stupid enough to be affected, why they had not to be on the jury. But it was an open... an open and shut case for jury tampering. There is no question about it. If you get a chance, check that out on Sunday's Washington Post. And Larry's going to be on to talk about that tomorrow. He took exception to it. I most certainly do as well. I can't believe the Washington Post would have printed this article about how she thinks, you know, poor little Scooter and the Bush administration didn't do anything wrong and how they're just all been persecuted. And it should be Fitzgerald is one that should be prosecuted and some of the Democrats. It's a sickening article. So, what are they looking at a chat room here? And they're talking about quotes about Lincoln. Well... it was another quote that was the biggie in Congress that one of the congressmen quoted as being from Abraham Lincoln, and it was not. The quote we just gave you came from the writings of Abraham Lincoln. Where do you think we're going with all this, the Libby trial and all that? Do you think it's just very disappointing the way this whole thing turned out? It's been disappointing for me, really. In the beginning, I'm really starting to think that we won't get the result from the Scooter Libby trial that we won. In fact, I know we won't. And I know that many of you and myself expected something beyond the conviction of Scooter Libby. Actually, I never gave a damn whether or not Scooter Libby got convicted. He's the small fish out of that political cesspool that is Washington, D.C. right now. Well, you hear me talk a lot about Washington. I have a love-hate relationship with Washington. I love the place for what it stands for. Actually, for what it's supposed to stand for. And I hate it for what it actually is right now. And what it actually is a city where a bunch of smarmy, unethical, greedy men and women get together to conspire on how to cheat Joe taxpayer out of his money. That's what it really is. From the military-industrial complex to the pharmaceutical companies to the insurance companies, big business in general, they all send folks to Washington, D.C. to see how they can drain as much money as possible from an uninformed, unsuspecting, and really, sadly, apathetic public. And it works very well for them, and it's getting to be more profitable all the time. And the shift of wealth in this country during the past couple of decades has been staggering. You know that. And way back, as a student of history, I look back at when the robber barons controlled almost all of the wealth in America, the Carnegies and the Mellons and the Rockefellers. And then the working men got the union movement started. And eventually, it moved the working class up the ladder, and the balance of wealth began to change. But the good old-fashioned greed never went away, and now we have a new group of robber barons who are, well, how else can you call it? They're hell-bent upon gathering all the wealth away from the middle class, and they're doing it. The sad fact is they're doing it with the full cooperation of the politicians in Washington, most of whom are doing all they can to feather their own nest at the expense of the American public. And you only have to look at the difficulty the Democrats had in getting the minimum wage raised to see that the Congress of the United States is a hell of a lot more concerned in raising their own pay than they ever were about getting Joe Lunchbuck at a small raise so he doesn't have to work 80 hours a week just to keep his head above water. What a disgrace that is. But raising the minimum wage means that big business will have to sacrifice a tiny bit of their black ink to help their workers have a decent, even a decent standard of living. What a sacrifice. And if you live where I live, and some of you live in similar places, I'm sure, this means that some of the shareholders won't be able to buy a $30 million mansion on the beach in Naples, Florida. They'll have to settle for like a $25 million mansion down the street. Oh, the horror of it all. You know, no more golden gilded shower curtains for the spare bathroom. And yes, those damn workers on the assembly line are going to be taking the caviar right out of their mouths. Maybe you live in an area kind of like that. I can drive just a little bit here and see that, the $30 million homes. And you can go to an area of Naples, Florida, where there's unimaginable wealth, just unimaginable mansions and yachts that you only see when watching that old show, Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous. And yet, just a few blocks away, there are places to live that many of us wouldn't want to enter because they're too shabby and too run down for human habitation. We're gradually separating into two distinct classes of people again, just as we were back when the robber barons thrived early in the 20th century. Slowly but surely, we're getting there. And with the continued export of the good jobs in America and the eventual death of the union the way it's looking, we will get there. And we will become a nation of 5% wealthy, and the other 95% are going to be their slaves. That's just exactly where it's going to end. God help us. Let's go to the phones. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hey, guys, it's Sarge. How you doing?
Hi, Sarge.
Hey, listen, you're talking about the wealth distribution. I'm going to tell you a little story about what's going on in the Mississippi coast that will just dramatically point out the distribution. Am I feeding back on you?
No, you're fine.
Okay. We found out last week while we were there that the doctors on the Mississippi coast had decided they're not going to take any more Medicaid patients. And yet at the same time, they are trying to shut down all free clinics. There's one in Moss Point that they're really giving a lot of problems to. They don't want Doctors Without Borders coming in because they're scared they're going to cut into their profit margin after everything gets settled, which, truthfully, at the rate they're going, it never will be settled. And so this is really one of the more horrible things. There's a disease that has been under control for over 100 years that is starting to increase dramatically, and they're saying that when the warm weather hits, it's probably going to blow into an epidemic proportion, and once it does, it's going to start spreading further up into the state, and I wouldn't doubt to see it hitting Tennessee and Georgia by the end of the summer if this continues. So this really, really, this mentality is really hurting. And, I mean, we saw stuff, Guy, we bumped into people who were living on the boat. They didn't have a bed to sleep on. They were sleeping on a wood-floored deck of a boat. And nobody had done anything to help. They'd helped themselves as much as they could. They'd run out of money. They were shrimpers. They wasn't able to do much. Thanks to Jim Yancey and the Mississippi Mission, today they were given furniture, beds, appliances. The kitchen was put in for them. And this is all from the efforts of the Mississippi Mission.
Well, Sarge, those are just poor people you're talking about, or disadvantaged people right now. They really don't matter.
Actually, these are shrimpers.
Well, they don't matter. No. They don't give much money to the political campaigns, do they?
Oh, of course not.
Well, and if they don't, they don't help elect any congressmen, and the congressmen can't help the corporations take the rest of the money that the middle class and the lower class have. So, Sarge, those people don't matter. I don't know where you get the idea that they do. They just don't matter.
You know, that's the sad part is I've been working here in Columbia, which I'm not even 2 hours away from Jackson County, and my twin sister lives there, and the people here are just really callous about it. There's a place called the Deck. Wydell Stewart owns it, and I have begged him for ever since we started the Mississippi Mission to get involved, and he refused. He wouldn't even donate a packet of ketchup in his restaurant. And yet, at the same time, a few minutes later, he started telling me about how his son's church is sending a couple of young people to Brazil to pass out Bibles and convert the natives. And one guy donated $45,000 to that. And yet, when I told him, look, you know, not $45,000 and all that. That's all great. But how about you guys taking that and actually going into Jackson County? Jim Yancey can set y'all up with a place to live and work out of for free, and these young people can go out there, and they can talk to the people on the Mississippi, because these are our Mississippians. He said, oh, no, we're going to Brazil. So, I mean, you know, this is why I'm fighting so hard, because there's epidemic proportions. There's this woman that works with Jim Yancey, and she's had her trailer broke into for the last 2 weeks. She's been broke into 2 times, and during the weekend they stole everything the woman has, and she's actually done without so people could have. And so I'm taking up a thing now for people who want to donate to get this woman a safe house, get her safe. I'm going to tell you what, if we lose this woman, you can just write it down right now, there will be 100 people die because of the loss of her. That's how important this woman is. So I hope everybody will go to Unreported News. Let's help Judy, Bob and Agnes know her real well. People in the Horn Chat know her. I beg everybody, if you think, even if I have to use me, if you like me, do it for me. But let's help this woman, okay? Because this woman has got, she is a lifeline, and we just can't lose her.
Well,
guys, I've taken enough of your time. I want to talk to you on the phone privately sometime about the deal I talked to you earlier.
Okay, you got my number.
Thank you, pal.
Thanks, Sarge.
Bye-bye.
Let's go over here to line one. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show. Hello? Hello? I hear feedback in the background, but whoever's on this line, I guess. Well, anyway, give us a call, 866-546-5254, if you'd like to call the show. No Ann and Nicole Smith update on the show today. I see they're having some kind of a fight on who gets the body. Brittany, what's her name? Britney Spears cut her hair off. My God, what a tragedy. Going to have a profound effect on America. That story and the Anna Nicole Smith both, just profound effect. God, somebody help me understand that. Any of you understand that? Do you get why anybody would listen to that day in and day out about Anna Nicole Smith and Britney Spears? I mean, is there... I just don't get it. I don't think I ever will. I hate the Hollywood scene. And, I'm disgusted by it most of the time. Hey, let's go to the phone. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hi, Guy. It's Phil up in Daytona Beach.
Hi, Phil.
Hi. I was listening to what you were saying about the robber barons and back in the 20s and people joining together to form unions and, you know, after having enough. And, well, we're there again, you know. And the answer is people joining together, you know, to make the change. The change is not going to come until we, the people, pull it together. And we're working on it. You know, shows like your own, and, you know, you look at what Sarge is doing down there on the Gulf Coast. And it's hard work, and the progress is slow.
It is slow. It is indeed slow, and especially when you. I was just looking. They came out with the new yearly numbers. This Talkers Magazine. It's kind of like our industry's magazine. And with the top talker radio shows of the year and how many listeners they have and all that. Man, you know, Phil, you might be surprised to know we lost ground last year.
Boy.
A lot of ground. So
you mean the progressive?
Yes,
the progressive talk radio
lost a tremendous amount of ground last year, as far as listeners are concerned. I know a lot of people find that hard to believe, but it's the truth.
I think people are getting so beat down, Guy, and so overwhelmed, but that can't let us stop. And the thing is, you know, the redistribution of wealth, you know. There are a hell of a lot more of us on the short end of the stick now than you have buying those $30 million mansions in Naples, you know, and the numbers are, in one respect, in our favor.
Oh yeah, I always have been. But,
yeah, but they're even more now, and if we could just, folks like myself, like Sarge, like you, and some of the other listeners who are listening and paying attention, we just have to keep working as hard as we can to bring, to increase our numbers. Mike Malloy always mentions, often mentions Saul Alinsky, organize, organize, organize. And I did want to say one thing about Mike Papantonio was on the Alex Jones show before, and that, folks, by the way, rebroadcast loops for 24 hours on Infowars.com, and he was talking about the HRV vaccine, you know, that they're forcing young girls to take in Texas. The governor in Texas is trying to impose that. It's against some kind of supposed to prevent cervical cancer, but it is actually a cancer virus, this vaccine, and it's being put out by Merck. And this is, Mike Papantonio was saying that this is the most profitable vaccine ever created by the drug companies, you know, and they're really going at, you know, they spend $20 for every $1 on marketing that they do on the drug.
Now, Phil, certainly you're not alleging that the very kind and compassionate and wonderful Merck Corporation would take advantage of a little government help in imposing something on the public that they didn't. You're not suggesting that.
My God, man, but this is really happening, and you know, it happens in one state, and then they get it happening in another, and these are children, for crying out loud.
Mm-hmm.
So I do want to mention that. You know, perhaps you can get Mike on the show one of these days. You know, his website is rainoffireradio.com, all spelled out, and it's got the phone contacts and all that on there.
Yeah, him and the Kennedy boy do that show together, don't they?
On the weekend, yeah. Mike's up in Pensacola, Florida, and but he's really trying to bring this to the attention of the American people, along with Alex Jones on the Infowars.com. These two guys are, because it's happening, they're actually, you know, they're actually shooting up these kids with this stuff, and under the direction of this wacky governor in Texas. And one more thing on the robber barons,
mm-hmm,
and the, you know, the how they bought off Congress. Well, they did that in 1913 with the Federal Reserve Act. And Aaron Russo, who also I've heard on other radio shows, he's recovering from cancer, and he made this film, Freedom to Fascism, all spelled out, freedomtofascism.com. And he's asking people to have house parties and show this film in their public libraries and what have you. You know, it's about the income tax. Not, there's no law saying you have to. You've heard this for years. There's no law saying.
Yeah, I've heard it, but I also know people who are in prison.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, but because they can get away with it with not having the American people not really know about it. So here's another guy. We've got these tools, these DVD films that, you know, with a television watching society, you know, they're using the mechanism that's in place. You know, the American sits on their butt, grabs a clicker.
Oh, they are, and if ever, you know, if ever there was an administration, a leadership in this country that has been able to get away with anything, and you know, they've tried it for a good many years, but it's finally all come to pass with this administration that they've literally run roughshod over the Congress, over the people, and done anything they wanted to, legal or not. It hasn't mattered to them.
Right. So we can use the same methods that they're using, and you know, you go to Infowars.com, and you go to freedomtofascism.com or Rainer Fire, and you get these DVDs, and you take these guys, you know, the guys that are out there sounding the alarm, you know, like Aaron Russo, Mike Papantonio, Alex Jones, And you buy one of these DVDs off of them, and you do have a house party, and you do call your local library.
Who is this Aaron Russo?
He made the movie The Rose with Bette. He was Bette Midler's manager back in the 70s and brought her up to fame. And
got to be honest, I try and keep up on things, but I never heard of him.
Yeah. Go to freedomtofascism.com. He's a great guest. I can email an interview of him that I saw.
Well, how do they explain the fact then that Marion on the chat room brings up a point that is well taken. There are a lot of nations in the world that have an income tax, and they're not under the control of fascism.
Well, the gist of it is this: in 1913. You know, Christmas Eve, they rammed, you know, they bought off a couple of members of Congress and rammed through this Federal Reserve Act, which basically says, the Constitution says that the United States is supposed to be the one that issues the money. They rammed through this act, and the Federal Reserve Bank is not a federal bank, it's a private bank, you know, that was Rothschilds, Rockefellers, all them, J.P. Morgan, and what they do is they lend money to the government and charge interest. And the income tax on people's wages, that's not provided for in the Constitution. You know, there's the Constitution provides for tax on corporate earnings and things of that nature, but not on people's wages. And every dime of personal income tax collected goes to pay off the interest on these private banks. And there actually have been, folks, watch this thing. You know, you can even watch it online if you go to Google and then click video, type in freedom to fascism. You know, you can watch this. They have actually had people win in court. It's just the media doesn't tell you about it.
I had a friend that decided to buck the system. This has been a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
And he decided he made pretty good money. Probably 15, 16 years ago, he was making, 100 and a half a year, something like that. He was doing well. And he decided not to pay any tax. And he didn't for 5 or 6 years. And it usually takes at least that long for him to catch up with him. And they did. And he went to federal court, was found guilty of evasion of income tax, of not paying his income tax, and the judge said he was going to make an example out of him when he came back for his sentencing the following week. Well, my friend shot himself that night. It was a tragic situation in our little neighborhood, but that actually happened. Hey, I got to move on, Phil. Thank you.
Okay, well, let's keep informing each other, folks.
Oh, we will. Thank you.
Okay, guy.
Bye now.
Bye now.
Hey, we're going to pause for a break, long overdue break. Hey, you get your money's worth on the show, don't you? We don't have a commercial every 7 minutes or whatever it is like they do on the other ones. We don't have any commercials, period. We have little breaks here and there and little ads that you need to hear, PSAs and so forth. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes. Don't go away. I've got some interesting stuff to talk about right as soon as we get back.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at headonradionetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
And now a message from the President of the United States, George W. Bush.
Good morning. This week we are celebrating the President's Day, which is a day when we honor the great presidents of our times. Presidents like my father, George Herbert Walker Bush, perhaps the second greatest president to to ever sit in the Oval Office. Now, he was, in his 4 short years as Commander-in-Chief, an accomplisher of a great amount. Like being president, and invading Iraq, and...
Hello, Georgie.
Dad, that is just giving you an honor.
I appreciate it, son. Boy. You're a good boy.
Thank you.
You know, sometimes I see what they say about you in the TV news, and...
Dad, it's all right. I'm going to be fine.
They're so mean to you. They say you're inarticulate and close-minded and
of course,
not too bright.
And those are the disagreements.
You didn't have a plan for your war.
Well, not...
America is less safe. You're incompetent.
Wait.
You're a total failure.
Now just,
that your approval rating is in the toilet.
I get the point.
That Laura doesn't even like you anymore.
Dad, that's enough.
You ruined the Bush family name.
Dad.
Jeb will never be president.
Oh, Dad. Now I'm crying. Dad.
Man, what a sorry little scene that was. Oh, the Bush family has a meltdown. The bastards. I'm afraid I can stand and laugh at most things that might go wrong in their family. I despise the Bush family. It seems I feel that way about every single one of them. Isn't that awful? Isn't that a terrible thing for a guy to say? And I'm not even like that, but I hear the name Bush and I just want to throw up. I, honest to God, I do. What a tragedy. What an absolute tragedy the Bush family has been for the United States of America. And when I hear crap that took place like over the weekend here for the past several days, even the past week, ever since the House and the Senate started talking about this non-binding resolution stuff, with all these charges coming from the Republicans in Congress about those who voted yes on the non-binding resolution to go on record against Bush and his escalation, I just want to throw up when I hear these no-good bastards talk. And they're either stupid... Or they're just unethical as hell. They're saying we're helping Al-Qaeda, that we're aiding the enemy, hurting the morale of the troops, and on and on and on. Oh, sure, we all want to do that. We all want to hurt the morale of the troops, and we're so stupid that we don't realize maybe that we're hurting the morale of the troops, and they're the smart ones. Oh, yeah. You want to talk about aiding the enemy? Let's do talk about aiding the enemy. Let's do talk about how Bush is seen by the entire rest of the world as the greatest threat to peace on this planet. The greatest threat to peace on this planet. Let's talk about how that affects the troop. Let's talk about how that has drastically diminished the esteem and the reputation of the United States of America all around the world. Not isolated instances of it. No, all around the world, no matter where you go, we're looked upon as the warmongers now. Let's talk about the effect that has on the entire country. You want to talk about morale? You want to talk about aiding the enemy? Keeping George W. Bush in office even one more day is aiding the enemy and all of the enemies of the United States. He's a lying buffoon, and the whole world knows it. The rest of the world thinks that people of the United States are absolutely nuts for keeping this guy in office. That is hurting all of us. I live in a place where we have visitors from all over the world. And you ought to hear the comments from people who used to talk about the United States in glowing terms. And all the Republicans say, well, they don't have to come here on vacation anymore. Well, they still like the nice warm weather. And they still will give the people of the United States the benefit of the doubt. But I must tell you, they are wondering about us. They're looking at us funny now. You elected this guy for a second term. You knew he was lying to you about the war. You knew he dredged the whole thing up, lies out of whole cloth. You knew that, and you reelected this ass as your president? You know, we need to be fighting for the hearts and minds of the people around the world. And as long as Junior Bush is our leader, we're not going to make any progress on that front. None whatsoever. He's still got 2 years left on his contract. And in that 2 years, he can drag this country down a hell of a lot further than he already has. Don't you think that he can't? Oh, yes. We can sink lower. And while he's in office, we're going to do just that. I promise you. If they want to have an honest discussion about the safety and the security of the United States, you have to ask the question, can we possibly afford a couple of more years of this idiotic administration? If the Republicans were so damn worried about America's kids learning about blowjobs from Bill Clinton, why don't they worry about what the kids must be learning from Junior Bush's scheming and conniving and his deceitful, atrocious administration? Why don't they worry about that? Personally, I'd rather have the kids learning about honesty and ethics, about really important matters. Matters that will affect their lives from here on out. Can't think of anyone who was killed because of a blowjob offhand. Well, maybe a heart attack here and there, but maybe it's happened. I don't know. Let's face it. Impeachment is the most important thing the Republicans could be involved in right now. The Republicans. Or at least have an honest discussion about why it's absolutely necessary. And the consequences we'll suffer if it's not done. Anyone at all interested in the welfare of this nation ought to be asking questions about impeachment right now. It should be on the headlines of the newspapers every single day. It should be the lead story on the evening news. We need to at least be talking about it. It's the most important thing that could be done right now to make things better for our nation and for the world. And instead of playing politics over Bush's escalation, the damn Republicans ought to be talking about what's best for our nation right now. And it seems to me the best thing that could happen to our country right now would to have the presidential helicopter land on the White House lawn, pick up Dick Cheney and George Bush, fly them to Andrews Air Force Base, and fly their asses back to Texas. Nothing could be better for this country right now than that. Nothing. Why isn't it on the news every night? Let's go to the phone. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hi, Guy. It's Greg from Connecticut.
Hi, Greg.
Well, you know, I've been thinking maybe we're wrong about this troop support thing, you know, because I got some interesting quotes here I'd like to run by you and tell me what you think here. Okay, here's a quote. It says, "You can support the troops but not the president," by Tom DeLay. Okay, we have another quote here. "Well, I think it's just a bad idea. What's going to happen is that they're going to be over there 10, 15, maybe 20 years. Now, what I'm, of course, talking about is Bill Clinton during the whole Bosnia incident."
Oh, that's a completely different story now, isn't it?
Yes. See, here's another. "Explain to the mothers and fathers of American servicemen that may come home in body bags why their son or daughter have to give up their life." Sean Hannity. Here's another one by Tom DeLay. "American foreign policy is now one huge big mystery. Simply put, the administration is trying to lead the world with a feel-good foreign policy." Or here's one from Karen Hughes. "If we're going to commit American troops, we must be certain they have a clear mission, an achievable goal, and an exit strategy." So it's just amazing, see, when it's a Democratic president, we have different sets of rules. It's okay to mercilessly criticize the president then, and you're not supporting terror, or you're not supporting the enemy. But if it's a Republican president, see, you are supporting the enemy.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's a whole different ballgame. A whole set of circumstances. And if you had a couple of days, they'd sit and explain to you why it is. All phony, of course.
And the funny thing is, you know, if we have another Democratic president, whether it's Hillary or Obama or Edwards or whatever, you'll see just how quickly that shifts again. You know, they won't spend 5 minutes before they criticize them about things. we have to remember that the scale of things that we have here. During the Clinton administration, for instance, they spent, I think, 100 hours doing an investigation of whether the White House used a Democratic list or something to send Christmas cards.
Mm-hmm.
And they spent about a quarter of that investigating Abu Ghraib. It's just laughable.
Oh, it is. It is.
You know, and that's the thing. If Republicans would stand up for something they believe in consistently, I would say, you know, maybe I respect that. You know, I might not agree, but at least I would respect. But you could look at things that our dear Maverick McCain said back in the Clinton days, or Orrin Hatch, or all these people, or Rick Santorum, and they said the complete opposite. So they have no platform to stand on, and they are just absolute, complete hypocrites.
McCain, if they wanted to talk about flip-floppers, McCain would be the champion flip-flopper of all time. John Kerry couldn't come close to McCain's record of flopping on issues. And it's okay to change your mind. It's okay to mature and come to a different, when you get, you know, you process new material and put that in your brain and you say, hey, I'm having an epiphany here. Something's wrong with what but my goodness, when it just happens to take place like it has with McCain, oh.
Well, and talking about McCain, I think, I don't know if a lot of people know, you know, back in the 2000 campaign, people talked about how, you know, they went on and on, he has a black baby and this and that, and he has the mistress and this and that. He hired the very same people to work on his campaign. So I think he would have no qualms about saying Rudy Giuliani had this, or Rudy Giuliani had this lover, or whatever. I mean, you know, these people have zero scruples. And the fact that half of America still thinks that this McCain is some maverick, it's beyond me. But then again, here in Connecticut, still over 50% like Joe Lieberman. So I have no clue.
Oh, let's not talk about it. Don't get me started about Lieberman over the weekend. Yeah, I tell you, oh, man, I can't go there today. I really can't.
Well, just a quick comment. You know, for Joe, you know, he's always a strict observer of the Sabbath, you know, but when it came to going for more war, oh, he certainly went out and came to vote for that, didn't he?
Yeah. Well, I could never convey the disgust I have for Joe Lieberman on this radio program. I would the microphone would melt. I just can't tell you what I think of Joe Lieberman. Well,
yeah, and it's an embarrassment for our state. Well, anyway, that was the rant du jour. So thank you, guys.
Hey, good to hear from you.
Okay.
Ah, yes, Joe Lieberman. Yes. Who'd we have? We had Snow and who else? Coleman from Minnesota and Chuck Hagel and who else? Smith. Arlen Specter, Warner, Virginia, and Collins, Susan Collins. Republicans, how many is it? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Writing them down here. Those are the Republicans that voted yes. And we had Bernie. Bernie is an independent, voted yes as well. But here's the people I really had a bone to pick with over the weekend. These cowardly bastards, these partisan political hacks. My esteem for these people took a nosedive, and I didn't think it could. Of course, Lieberman voted no. I'm talking about the resolution on Saturday with the Senate. Murkowski, a no-show. Kyle, a no-show. Now they say Kyle and Corker were on their way to Baghdad. Was it more important for them to take this little trip to Baghdad than it was to vote on this issue that's held so dear to them? Evidently not. John McCain, a no-show. Cochran, a no-show. Kit Bond from Wyoming, a no-show. John Ensign, no-show. And I mentioned Corker and Bennett and my beloved Orrin Hatch. Couldn't be bothered with voting on that resolution. Now, what is it, folks? Why didn't they vote? Did they not have the political courage to vote? Did they just not give a damn? Was it more important for Orrin Hatch to be back in Utah? I don't know. You tell me. But I thought it was extreme cowardice. The only Democrat that didn't vote was Johnson. And he's laid up in the hospital and can't vote. Isn't it odd, don't you think, that a bunch of Democrats didn't find, you know, the Democrats voted. Huh. Just odd that it's a coincidence, I know. But it just happened to be all Republicans that didn't vote. My, oh, my. Well, this war, I know we talk about it day in and day out. But my friend over at Riverblend Blogspot sent me a little piece that he did. First time he's posted anything in a while, and it's about time. I razzed him about that. It's been a couple of months since he put anything on his blog, riverbendblogspot.com. And I just want to quote you what the piece he sent me, and I think it makes perfect sense, and I just have to say amen to this. And I quote, "And yet, as the situation continues to deteriorate both for Iraqis inside and outside of Iraq, and for Americans inside Iraq, Americans in America are still debating on the state of the war and occupation. Are they winning or losing? Is it better or worse?" He goes on to say, "Let me clear it up for any moron with lingering doubts. It's worse. It's over. You lost. You lost the day your tanks rolled into Baghdad to the cheers of your imported American-trained monkeys. You lost every single family whose home your soldiers violated. You lost every sane, red-blooded Iraqi when the Abu Ghraib pictures came out and verified your atrocities behind prison walls as well as the ones we see in our streets. You lost when you brought murderers, looters, gangsters, and militia heads to power and hailed them as Iraq's first democratic government. You lost when a gruesome execution was dubbed as your biggest accomplishment. You lost the respect and reputation you once had. You lost more than 3,000 troops. That is what you lost, America. I hope the oil at least made it worthwhile." Well, I could not agree more with that entire statement. I really could not. God. I got this. Some friends of mine sent this to me. And I'll take a moment to talk about it. For those who keep reminding us how much progress we're making in Iraq, how good it's going. And by the way, the president reminded us on January the 10th, I believe it was, that the Iraqis would have three full brigades ready by February 15th to help the Americans in this job we're going to do in Baghdad, right? Three full brigades. That's what the president of the United States said. That's what he said Maliki told him. That's what we'd have. Well, there are not three brigades of brigades of Iraqis armed and ready, trained and ready to go in Baghdad. Oh, no. One of them didn't show up at all. Two brigades showed up. One of them at 50% capacity, and one at 60. So out of the three that were promised, we in essence have one brigade. Oh, it's going well so far, isn't it, Mr. President? Give me this one more chance, and we'll make sure it's right this time. We're going to tell those Iraqis that they've got to produce, they've got to help defend their own city, their own country, and I'm going to make sure they do. And I've got this pass, this pact with Maliki, and he's going to take it. He's going to take care of El Sadr, and everything's going to be hunky dory, well and good. And by February 15th, through these three brigades, damn it, of Iraqis are going to be ready to go, ready to fight, and ready to secure the city of Baghdad. And there's one. Actually, two. One at 50% strength, and the other at 60% strength. Which, out of the three brigades, why can I say that word today? The three groups. Really, we only have one. Isn't that just the way it's been going all along? Isn't that just the way? Bush is wrong already. here's this man that's been telling everybody we got to give him another chance. We got to help this surge go along. We got all the Republicans in Congress saying we've got to back this surge. We got to give the president another chance. He deserves another chance. This will not fail. And by God, already it's failing. Fascinating. Absolutely fascinating. Well, I want to read this article he sent to us from Baghdad Burning. At work, I try not to react to the jungle outside, even if for a few minutes. Sometimes I succeed. But today the events came rushing in and rudely intruded upon my precariously sustained neutrality. I was called from home to be told that a nephew of mine was killed in an explosion in the city center. The explosion went off in a central, much frequented market, so there was no doubt it was targeting civilians. Then they called me to say it may not be him after all, because there was no way to identify what was left, only the cell phone in his pants pocket. Now I'm waiting, fearfully, for confirmation either way. The problem doesn't end there. If it isn't him, it's someone else's son anyway. But if it is him, whom are we willing to risk going to the morgue to receive the remains? If and when we receive him, where do we bury him? Almost none who take the path to Abu Ghraib Cemetery return unscathed. Perhaps we should revive the tradition of burying our dead in our gardens. It's certainly a lot better than losing other members of our family on the way to the cemetery or on the way back. For this is contemplation, for I am still waiting. And then 3 days later, a follow-up at the morgue. We were asked to send the next of kin to whom the remains of my nephew, killed on Monday in a horrific explosion downtown, can be handed over. The young men of the family, as was customary, rose to go. No, cried his mother. Isn't my son enough? Must we lose more of our youth? You know there are unknowns who wait at the morgue to either kill or kidnap the men who dare reach its doors. I will go. So we went, his mum, his other aunt, and I. I was praying all the way there. I never thought a day would come when it was the women of the family who would be safer on the roads. All the men are potential terrorists, it seems, and therefore to be cut down on sight. There is the logic of today, is it not, to kill evil before it even has a chance to take root. When we get there, we were given his remains. And remains they were. From the waist down was all they could give us. We identified him by the cell phone in his pants pocket. If you want the rest, you will just have to look for yourselves. We don't know what he looks like, they said. Now begins the horror that surpasses anything I could possibly have envisioned. We were led away, and before long, a foul stench clogged my nose, and I retched. With no more warning, we came to a clearing that was probably an inside garden at one time. All round it were patios and rooms with large pane windows to catch the evening breeze Baghdad is renowned for. But now it had become a slaughterhouse. Only instead of cattle, all around were human bodies. On this side, complete bodies. On that side, halves. And everywhere, body parts. We were asked what we were looking for. Upper half, replied my companion, for I was rendered speechless. Over there, they said. We looked for our boy's broken body between the tens of other boys' remains, with our bare hands sifting through them and turning them. We found him millennia later, took both parts home, and began the mourning ceremony. Can Hollywood match our reality? I doubt it. Man's inhumanity toward man. What a disgusting story that is. Amazing. It really is. Well, I've got several lines lit up here, and I really don't have time to take a call before the top of the hour. We've only got about 1 minute until news time coming up, so either hang on or call back after the news at the top. Wonder what kind of news we'll have today. Will we hear about Anna Nicole Smith? Will we hear more about Britney Spears getting her hair cut off? Do we give a damn? I don't think so. When I come back, I do want to talk about several things. Number one, about the democracy that's probably just not possible in Iraq. I want to talk about the five political parties they have in Iraq and why there's probably no chance that they're ever going to end up with anything close to what we think is a democracy. You're listening to the Guy James Show here on the Head On Radio Network. We got another hour coming up, so stay tuned. We'll be back right after the news, coming up in about 15 seconds.
This is the Quality News Network. Retired Vice Admiral Mike McConnell was sworn in today as Chief of U.S. Intelligence. The former head of the NSA was praised by the president during the ceremony for his skills and will replace John Negroponte, who resigned to become the Deputy Secretary of State. In Kabul, coalition forces have cleared the remains of a military helicopter that crashed Sunday morning, killing 8 and wounding 14. After an investigation into the crash confirmed mechanical failure, the CH-47 was destroyed and the area cleared to prevent possible exploitation by terrorists. In Washington, the Lewis Scooter Libby perjury trial is in its last stages. Defense and prosecuting attorneys are scheduled to give their closing arguments today. According to Pakistan, a U.S. report claiming the re-emergence of al-Qaeda training compounds in Afghanistan is absurd. A Pakistani foreign ministry spokeswoman said Pakistan rejects the report and restated their commitment to fighting terrorism and extremists. 4 Swedes have been arrested in Somalia in connection to the recent violence there. The Swedish Foreign Ministry has confirmed 3 of the 4 are Swedish citizens, while the 4th has permanent residency status. All are accused of fighting alongside Islamic militants in Somalia. Despite an attack on a cross-border train in New Delhi which killed 68, peace talks between India and Pakistan will commence undeterred. The firebombing of the Friendly Express was an attack aimed at people of both countries and viewed as an attempt to spoil the peace process. One man has been arrested in question about the blast. Today, Iran said it would shut down its uranium enrichment program if everyone else did, including the U.S. Iran has until tomorrow to abandon its nuclear fuel program or face additional economic sanctions. In Mexico, the country's president is offering a 50% pay raise for police officers battling the drug trade. The president hopes a bigger paycheck will help police officers resist bribes and other corruption. And in Somalia, at least 16 people died this morning in clashes between government forces and Islamic rebels. Today's mortar attacks have been the most deadly since government forces and Ethiopian ally troops retook the capital city from Islamic extremists. A tsunami warning has been rescinded for the Indonesian islands following a 6.5 earthquake there this morning. So far, there are no reports of immediate damage or injuries. The stranded climbers who were rescued yesterday from a cold snowy Mount Hood credit their survival to their black lab. The 3 female climbers were able to stave off hypothermia thanks to the big black dog.
Monterey is the home of a new national radio voice. It's America Back on Track from the Quality News Network. Tune in weekdays at noon Pacific to this new national broadcast, a conversation with America designed to get our country back on track. America Back on Track features local and long-distance guests sharing global ideas on where we are, how we got here, where we want to go, and how we might get there. So take an hour out of your day to plug into the future, our future. Discover the solutions to the problems that have gridlocked our nation for all too long. Eschew the agenda-driven palaver of the left and the right. Tune into America Back on Track for honest talk about the important issues and how they can be resolved. America Back on Track, weekdays at noon on KRML, 1410 a.m. in the Monterey area, and streaming live online at QNNAmerica.com. America Back on Track, our ticket to a healthy and productive future.
Embattled AMR, the parent company of American Airlines, is the target of a buyout by a consortium which includes British Airways and Goldman Sachs. The deal is rumored to be between $10 and $11 billion. Indian phone company Bharti Enterprises announced plans to invest $2.5 billion into a chain of supermarkets and shops throughout India. Its partner will be Walmart, the largest retailer in the world. JetBlue is finally beginning to get back in the air after canceling more than 1,100 flights following last week's ice storm. The budget airline has launched a plan to compensate affected travelers and says these types of delays will never happen again. In South Africa, a new law will go into effect banning the hunting of tranquilized big game animals. The new law, which goes into effect June 1st, would ban the canned hunting of lions, leopards, elephants, rhinos, and buffaloes, the big five animals South Africa is famous for. Walmart today announced it will build new U.S. stores within the next 2 years in 9 urban locations with high unemployment rates. In California, Walmarts are scheduled to be constructed in Sanger and Richmond. Walmart also beat Wall Street expectations by posting an 8.8% increase in quarterly profits. The company says their strategy of discounting electronics and toys during the holiday season is responsible for the good showing. And on Wall Street at this hour, the Dow Jones is up 3, the NASDAQ is up 9, and the S&P 500 is up 1 point. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Jay Gallet.
What your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
The world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you read?
The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Guy James Show here on the Head On Radio Network on this sunny, delightful Tuesday afternoon in Southwest Florida. Hope it's nice where you are, be it north, south, east, or west, any place in the world. I hope you're having a good day. Whether the weather's nice or not, you can still have a good day. Hey, thanks for tuning in this afternoon here on the Head On Radio Network. We're proud of our fledgling network here. We've Jeff Allen Wolf and John Fox and Dr. Bill and Mark Levine and Cup of Joe Show and Bob Kincaid. Everybody striving to bring you better radio, thoughtful radio, factual radio, in a sane and logical and informative manner every day. That's what we strive to do. We think we're doing it, and we're glad to have you. And by the way, if some of you just listened to this program, be sure and check out all the rest of the programs on the Head On Radio Network, okay? Do that for me. I think you'll find some very entertaining programs on. Right now, let's go back to the phone. I think we've got Francesca from Canada. Hi, Francesca.
Hi, how are you doing?
Glad to have you with us today.
Well, thanks for putting me on, and I'm enjoying listening to the program, especially, as I said, your remarks about impeachment. And it was just so great to hear somebody questioning why isn't it in the headlines every day? Why aren't they talking about it all the time? And why isn't it happening in Congress? And so I
do believe it's the one thing that could be done to put this country back on the right course again.
I agree, and I think it's, contrary to the argument that it would be divisive, I think it's the only way to unite people, because it would bring the truth out and nobody would be able to deny it anymore, that it's not the way it is, you know, that the administration hasn't broken all these laws and so on. And that would be the best way to heal the country, really. Also, I think people need to be punished for their crimes, and the punishment needs to fit the crime. The oversight committees that the Democrats are forming now that they think are going to help, you know, kind of keep their eye on the administration, they're just not going to be very strong at all. They're not going to do the job at all. So, and also I think another reason is that future administrations need to understand that if they break the law, that they'll be punished. If this one goes unpunished, we have no guarantee that it won't happen again and get worse, as you say, because I also agree with you that things could get a lot worse than they are now. And I worry about that a lot.
Oh, you're absolutely right. And if this president is not impeached, then take the impeachment clause out, because it no longer means anything if they don't impeach this guy.
A lot of people also worry that if we impeach Bush, we'll have Cheney for vice president, but they need to understand that any public official can be impeached. If you look at the Constitution, it provides for this, and there's judges that are under impeachment. They're going through impeachment trials now. Anybody. So that would include Cheney. That would include anyone else in the administration. And I think it might also even include appointed officials, as long as they're a public servant. The other thing I want to stress is that we have it in our power to at least put pressure directly on Congress by contacting the committee of the House, which would be the one to get the impeachment ball rolling. And that's the House Judiciary Committee, which right now has, you know, as of the new Congress, has a majority of Democrats. There's 40 members total. 23 of them are Democrats. And you can find their names at judiciary.house.gov, G-O-V, and it'll give you their phone numbers, their faxes, and their emails. And I suggest faxing because I think that it seems that they pay more attention to faxes than emails. So if you have the ability to do that, you can do it on your computer. And I've been starting to write letters. I think everybody needs to start doing this. And it's, you know, it strikes me that people spend a lot of time on political blogs, arguing with one another and so on about issues like this. And I think the time and the energy would be better spent on directly contacting the members of the House, especially the ones who keep arguing that, or keep saying that impeachment's off the table, like Nancy Pelosi and John Conyers. I don't think they get to do that. I think since we have a democracy, they don't get to make those decisions just sort of ad hoc, and they need to represent the will of the people.
Well, the will of the people is something I'm afraid a lot of them have completely forgotten about over the years. It's a shame it's come to that, but I'm, you know, it's like this issue is almost too hot for them to handle. They just don't, it's like a hot potato and they don't know what to do with it. Some of them are scared to death of the impeachment issue, and others will peek their necks around the corner and see what everybody else is doing before they join in, you know. Maybe
a
little time will help. I don't have a lot of confidence that it will, but I think it was a bad sign. You and I were talking a bit during the break. I think it's a bad sign when a guy like John Conyers, who was all for it, you know, he starts saying, well, it was off the table. And
I wouldn't doubt that they're afraid for themselves, because I really believe that Cheney is a very evil guy. And I think he had a lot to do with the reason that, you know, people that he's connected to or somehow, you know, he has a lot to do with why Gore won't run again, why the Democrats are really backing away from impeachment. You know, they're really afraid. This is a very dirty ball-playing administration, and we don't have any idea what goes on behind closed doors.
I think you make a good point. And you know, there are people that would listen to you and I have this conversation and say we're extremists, but I think there's every reason to believe that Dick Cheney would do anything.
Yeah.
And I mean, yeah, when I say anything,
to
hang on to his influence and power.
I mean, the thing is that you can call us extremists, but what we're doing is just looking at what's happening. We're just looking at things that are actually happening. And when you see former CIA officials, high-ranking officials, standing up and saying, you know, this isn't right and we're not doing the right thing and this war isn't justified, they never historically would have ever said such a thing to go against a president or the Pentagon or anyone like that that's that high up in the government. This is what's happening, you know, and so...
Oh, and by the way, we're having a CIA, Larry Johnson on tomorrow. He was the deputy director in the U.S. State Department Office of Counterterrorism, and he also was with the CIA for a number of years. He knows a good bit about this, and he's going to be our guest tomorrow.
Well, you know, I think this is a serious issue, but, you know, it might be true that the Democrats are a little afraid like this. However, the best way for them to get rid of the problem is to bring it out into the open and to hold impeachment trials. And, yeah, it would be pretty heady, but, I mean, as you're saying about the rest of the world looking at us, traditionally the rest of the world would give the American citizens a lot of benefit of the doubt, you know, and make a separation between them and what their government does. But I don't think that we could get that benefit of the doubt anymore, because we did reelect this administration, and because we really have, I mean, we still have more freedom, and we have at least access to the truth if we want it. And as far as I know, we're still able to get out on the street and protest, but with the, you know, things are changing every day, and with the ruling today and about foreign nationals not being able to go to court, you know, when they're being detained without arrest or conviction, with other things, this the Insurrection Act that was passed last year that includes the power for the president to send troops out on the streets for anything that they see fit, whether it's active terrorism or a disaster. I mean, things are closing down. As far as our...
Oh, you're so right. The squeeze is on. And a lot of people, Francesca, a lot of people don't pay attention to these little one brick at a time being taken out of the foundation. And pretty soon the building's going to fall over, and everybody's going to say, oh, what happened?
Right.
You're so right. One little bit at a time, and the public is too busy to, I don't know why, but to pay attention.
Well, it worked for Hitler.
Yeah, it did.
He passed one law at a time for 3-4 years, yeah. And suddenly Jews couldn't exist. You know, either they couldn't be in public office, they couldn't own property, they couldn't vote, one by one. And suddenly it was too late for everybody once that all was done, you know. So, and I lived in Berlin, actually, before the wall came down, and I traveled in East Germany, and, you know, I got a real sense of what it's like to have such control, you know, to be subjected to, you know, absolute scrutiny and control by a government, and a government that is illogical and inept at the same time, which was true in East Germany. So it pains me greatly to see America heading in this direction, and I really would like to know that, you know, we can count on things changing for the better, but it is tough to be hopeful these days.
Well, the thing is, there's time to get it, to make it better, and we need to get to work and get it done.
And I think, you know, the closer we get to the 2008 election, the less chances we have of impeachment happening. But we have a small window right now. Right now is the window of opportunity.
You're exactly right. I think we got now till, like, summer. That's about it.
Yeah.
And after that, it's going to be definitely off the table. You're so right.
And isn't it true that this week Congress is on a break, that they're in their home bases, so you can actually talk to your representative in his state office.
I got to tell you, my local congressman here is a Republican. His name is Connie Mack.
Uh-huh.
And his real name is Cornelius McGillicuddy. But his father and grandfather owned the Philadelphia Phillies, and his father was a congressman for many years, and now he's going to be a congressman for the rest of his life. I called his offices last week, and nobody in his office even knew how he was going to vote. Nobody would say if they
did. Well, actually, I emailed Maxine Waters' people, her advisor on policy,
mm-hmm.
yesterday, and he wrote me right back, and he said it's not his deal. I should call somebody else in the office, and then that was the legislative director, and I emailed her, got no answer. So even Maxine Waters is not really coming down on one side or the other of impeachment, which really surprises me. It's tricky, but I wish good old Cynthia McKinney, who put the bill forward last fall before she had to leave for, what is it, December, she actually introduced a bill into Congress for impeachment, which of course all of her, you know, fellow party members looked away from. They completely ignored. So, I don't think that we just need to really pressure them. I mean, the Democrats have a terrific opportunity right now. It's the best opportunity that they're going to have in a long time.
I think you're right.
So anyway, that's all I need to say.
Well, thank you, Francesca. It's been great talking to you.
Same here. Okay.
Bye now. Yeah. Is it something that's too hot to handle? Are the Democrats afraid of it? Do they just think they can't get it done? Is it too hot to handle? Is it that hot potato we were talking about? You know, there's no question but that George W. Bush and several of his colleagues, like Cheney, Addington, and Rumsfeld, and of course Wolfowitz and Feith, that bastard Feith, and Cambone, are guilty of the federal crime of conspiracy to commit torture. For one thing, just for one thing, conspiracy to commit torture, and put Gonzalez in on that too. That's a crime that is a felony punishable by up to life imprisonment under the federal anti-torture statute. And that is an impeachable offense. That's just one that I can think of off the top of my head. And the media and the politicians, they don't want to discuss that Bush is guilty of a felony of conspiracy to commit torture. Oh no. And even a lot of the liberal bloggers have stayed away from that subject. Like I said, just too hot to handle. You know, for two reasons. The memoranda written by the Department of Justice to try and legalize the torture made it impossible for there ever to be torture. Follow me on this. The way they wrote this, made it impossible for there ever to be torture. And this is how they try and explain it and get away with it. To begin with, the Department of Justice took the position that regardless of the pain actually inflicted, torture cannot exist unless its objective is to inflict pain rather than pain merely being the byproduct of some other objective. Are you following me? But the objective of torture is to get information, not to inflict pain. Honest to God, this is how they explain this. The objective of torture is to get information, not to inflict pain. So the objective is not to inflict pain, but to get information. Therefore, there is no torture. That, I swear to God, is the explanation they give to that. Could you possibly come up with more tortured logic than that? And then the Department of Justice memos took the position that if the president, as commander-in-chief, orders or authorizes torture, then it is not a violation of law to torture someone, notwithstanding the federal anti-torture statute. What this meant, as was driven home in spades when the story about the president's authorization of spying on civilians by the NSA became public, is that the president can authorize and immunize violations of laws enacted by Congress. In other words, they're saying that he can make himself immune. Man, you talk about a stretch. Let's go with the phone. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hi, this is Juanita.
Hi, Juanita.
I was looking up your website today, and they've got somebody else's picture on there.
Oh, no.
I was just shocked. I said, who is that?
Well, that's me.
Now, does that look more like you?
Yes.
Okay.
I didn't like that other picture.
Well, you look about 35 years old in this one.
Well, now that's not exactly the case, but that's why I never liked that picture. It did make me look older, I think.
Well, and different. I don't know. I'm having to get used to it. But,
I'm just a handsome devil. That's all there is to it.
You better believe it. And I one other curiosity before I get serious. Did you hear about what Bush wanted to do to Bin Laden?
Yes, I did. I toyed with whether or not I would say that today.
Don't you think he would have to get a ladder?
Oh, Juanita.
No. I had to say it. I couldn't resist it.
Oh, no. You win the prize for the funniest thing anybody's ever said on the program.
Well, one's about 7 foot tall.
Oh, yeah.
George,
oh, boy.
Maybe 6 foot. I don't know.
Oh, I need a drink. And I have water. I have water, of course.
But I totally agree about the impeachment situation. And I, as you know, my views that if you don't remember, I've been for it because this guy has been trouble for the little people ever since he came into office. And you're talking about taking apart little by little. I think sometimes he knocks down walls.
Oh, yeah.
Also, you know, because he'll take down little by little, and all of a sudden a wall will be knocked down, and people say, oh, okay. You know, I mean, I don't know what else to say. But,
well, it's that old boiling the frog deal.
Yeah.
You know, you got him in the water, and he doesn't notice it until it's way too late.
That's right. And, and the torture thing, all of that stuff, you know, I don't know. It's just, this is not our country anymore.
No, not while these people are in power. I just hope there's time to get it back, and I hope there's enough reasonable people to take it back.
Now, one thing I wanted to say about, I was surprised to hear Warner, when he voted for the, whatever it was they were voting on.
Yes, the non-binding resolution.
Yeah. And he made a statement in there about that supposedly he had been told that some brigade there was Iraqi.
Oh, yeah.
Led,
yes.
And he found out, Bush had told him,
The could.
And he, yeah, and he found out, he said this, he found out that there were only 200 Iraqis and 2,000 Americans, and he said that is not an Iraqi led, that is not Iraqi led. And I was really shocked to hear Warner, because Warner is very cautious, you know.
Oh, very.
Very loyal.
So that's,
I wonder how
long
I wonder how long his reputation will last.
Well, they'll, you know, if he says much more,
yeah,
even though he's had good standing with the Republican Party and been a powerful Republican senator for a long time, they'll do the same thing to him that they have done to Arlen Specter.
I believe you. I believe you. I really believe it. But
and like what was it Cheney said last week about the 11th commandment for the Republicans, thou shalt not talk in a bad way about another Republican. He said, well, that's pretty hard to do when you're talking about Chuck Hagel. They'll start including Warner in on that.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't hear of Cheney. I try to avoid him as much as possible.
Well, it's not good for one's health, certainly.
No, it's not. It's like I believe he's the beast or the Antichrist,
yeah,
or one of them.
Yeah, there's horns under there somewhere.
There is
in a tail.
Okay, well, I do like the website the way it's arranged better now, too.
Oh, good.
It is a little more simplified.
Yep.
Yeah. And I'll have to get used to the new you.
Oh, all right. Well, that's the real me.
But I read it was. I said, who in the world? This is not his website.
You know what happened? I was in Washington a while back, and Billy Shears, our music director, and his lovely wife, Maria, we had a nice dinner. And when I first met Billy, he looked at me and he says, geez, I wouldn't have recognized you.
Mm-hmm.
You don't look anything like that picture on there. So anyway, I started looking at it. Well, okay, I'll have to find a better one. So I just did that one with the old digital camera the other day. But I want to thank Fay Lynn for doing our new website. She's
yeah,
done a good job.
A good job.
And we got a lot more things planned for it. Hey, thanks for calling.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, do take a look at the new website. I'm proud of it. It's coming along. Got some good links on there. Got our commentary on the front page that we'll be changing that as often as we possibly can, two or three times a week. I plan on putting a commentary up about it. So the one up there right now is about a little episode about the Iranian weapons, so-called Iranian weapons that Mr. Bush and crew have want us to believe that they found. Mm. These people, they have no shame. They really don't have any shame. My God, they really don't. Where are we going here? I was going to look. I looked over at the producer, but there's nobody there. So, hey, we'll be back in just a moment or two. Don't go away.
It's jungle out there. Disorder and confusion everywhere. No one seems to care. Well, I do. Hey, who's in charge here? It's a jungle out there. Poison in the very air we breathe. You know what's in the water that you drink? Well, I do. And it's amazing. People think I'm crazy, 'cause I worry all the time. If you paid attention, you'd be worried too. Attention, all this world we love so much might just kill you.
Yield 3 minutes to the gentleman from Ohio, Mr. Ryan.
And I thank you, and I thank my friend from Connecticut, who I'm
making
The chair recognizes the gentleman from Ohio for 3 minutes.
I just want to, Mr. Speaker, it is entirely possible and welcomed under the Constitution of the United States to have disagreements about how we need to handle troop deployments, how we need to handle our situation in different wars. And it's not to be said that because one party or one group of people have a different philosophy and a different strategy that somehow they're not supporting the troops. Now that your party and your president, that the Republican Party, Mr. Speaker, and the Republican president are the ones who sent our kids to battle without armor. Without body armor. And it took Jack Murtha months to uncover it and then to finally get it paid for and distributed. It was the Republican Party, Mr. Speaker, who sent kids into battle without up-armored Humvees. Now, nobody questioned the Republican Party's patriotism. And nobody asked them if they supported the troops. Again, we called you incompetent, we said you were incapable, we said you were derelict of your duty, we said you should have provided oversight and you didn't, but we never called you unpatriotic. Now enough of the unpatriotic business. I yield back the balance of my time.
In Iraq, my administration looked at the intelligence and we saw a threat. Members of Congress looked at the intelligence and they saw a threat. The United Nations Security Council looked at the intelligence, and it saw a threat.
Very funny.
Tell us what you think. Call Guy James now, 1-866-546-5254.
And Bugs Bunny looked at the intelligence, and he saw a threat. And Elmo Fudd looked at the intelligence, and he saw a threat. And Wile E. Coyote looked at the intelligence and, oh, okay, we're back. Hey, welcome to the Guy James Show here on the Head On Radio Network. I don't know. My sense of humor is a little bit dry, isn't it? I know. We're glad to have you along with us. Hey, I was listening to some things that Junior Bush, I'm always on the lookout for things that he says. Anything he says, the way he said it's usually funny. But get this. Did you hear this?
February is the shortest month with only 28 or 29 days. It's also the month with President's Day. So how well does this president know February?
These are the actual results for the fiscal year that ended February the 30th.
George W. Bush. Don't blame me, I voted for Kerry.
Oh, my God. February the 30th. February the 30th. I have to admit, I know where there's a tombstone in Ohio that has the day that the guy died is February the 30th. I don't know whether it was a mistake or doing it to be funny, but yeah, guy died on February the 30th. Another one was from Congressman Tim Ryan from Ohio. Way to go, Tim. Told it like it is. You can give us a call, 866-546-5254, 866-546-5254. Be glad to have you join the program today. I don't want to get too deep into this because it is deep, but here we are going to have a democracy planted, as they say, in the Middle East. Mr. Bush would have you believe that that was the reason for this whole affair, this whole war of his. And it is his war. Make no mistake about it. This show will be forever known as the Junior George W. Bush War. It's his personal war. Had it not been for him, it would not have happened. Had it not been for having a stooge in the White House like him, the neocons wouldn't have been able to get their hooks into anybody else that was even slightly more intelligent than this monster. So it is his personal war. And for my money, it shall always be known as the George W. Bush War, because that's what it is. But it talked about, as an afterthought, when he found out the WMDs weren't there and blah, 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 and that the chemicals, all that crap, weren't there. And you know, some of the right-wingers are still claiming that we found them and know where the WMDs are and then we know where they're... Have you noticed? Do you have any friends like that? Do you get an email like I do? These radicals saying, yeah, we know where they're at. We know it's buried north of here and we know all about it. And it depressed the liberal media doesn't want to talk about it. Can you imagine a more stupid statement than that? Really, can you? Does anybody believe for a moment... that if we had found WMDs in Iraq, that Hannity and Limbaugh and all of them would be shouting it from the rooftops? That Fox News would have a whole new group of graphics and new dun-dun-dun music that show us the WMDs, and they'd be over there with cameras, and my God, we'd have 24/7 coverage of the WMDs, and still some of these stupid morons on the right are telling us, oh, yes, I know that they found them. I got an email yesterday. Well, I know where they're at, and we know where they're at, that liberal media. Yeah. Well, anyway, they after all the other reasons failed, they said, well, let me see. We'll plant democracy in the Middle East. That's it. That's why we went into Iraq, to plant democracy, and it'll spread like flowers all over that area, and we'll have one big, wonderful democracy over there for those people who have been oppressed all these years. And then we'll be able to get their oil. Yeah. It ain't going to happen, folks. And especially, it's not going to happen in Iraq. And just to go over a quick outline of this, do you know there are five political parties, basically, in Iraq? And none of them practice democracy. The five main political parties that rule their country are a group called the SCIR, that's the Supreme Council for the Islamic Revolution in Iraq. That's a Shiite political party. And it's founded in 1982 in Iran. The founder and the leader of the SCIRI, Ayatollah Muhammad al-Hakim, was killed in August 2003. The late leader led his party for 21 years, and the new leader is his brother, Mr. Abdul Aziz al-Hakim, who is preparing for his son Ammar to lead SCIRI after him. The second group is the PUK, no pun intended, Patriotic Union of Kurdistan, one of the two main Kurds political parties founded by... Ooh, the cough is back. Founded by the current Iraqi president, Talabani, in 1975, and since then, Talabani is the head of the party, and no democratic change have ever occurred. Okay? The KDP, the Kurdistan Democratic Party, was founded by Mr. Mustafa al-Barzani in 1946. After Mullah Mustafa's death in 1979, the new leader of the party is his son, Mr. Masoud Barzani. Both PUK and KDP leaders were re-elected by the General Congress of their parties since then as leaders to their parties, Mr. Barzani for 28 years and Mr. Talabani for the last 32 years. The IIP, the Iraqi Islamic Party, a Sunni political party that was not well known for many before the 2003 war, the party was founded in 1960. The leader of the party, Mr. Muhsin Abdul Hamid, gave away his position to Mr. Tariq al-Hashimi. For many, this was the first change in the leadership of an Iraqi political party ever since. But later, sources from the party said it was a coup, not a democratic process. And the fifth is the Dawa Party, a Shiite political party. The party was founded in 1957. The spokesman of the party is Mr. Ibrahim al-Jafari. Since 1989, he is leading his party for the last 18 years. What do all five of these parties have in common? None of them have truly elected leaders. They're all either being headed up by the founder of the organization or by a son or relative over the organization. That is not how democracy works. Not at all. So these people really don't even know what the hell we're talking about. These are the parties of the parliament in Iraq, and they're all led by party founders or their children or their relatives. Now, that's not democracy. You know it, I know it, everybody knows it, but Bush is still trying to let us know that he's done this wonderful thing by putting a democracy in Iraq, and it ain't happening. 866-546-5254, 866-546-5254 if you'd like to call the show. You still have time to do so. Where are we at here? We're at 21 minutes before the hour. Had a couple of odd stories here. The FBI. Wouldn't you think if there was any place in Washington that the furniture didn't need to be nailed down and the equipment bolted down, that it would be in the FBI office? Wouldn't you think? Between 3 and 4 FBI laptop computers are lost or stolen each month on average, and the agency is unable to say in many instances whether information on the machines is sensitive or classified, the Justice Department Inspector General said. The Inspector General said the FBI is doing a better job of reducing the number of thefts and disappearances of weapons and laptop computers, but that not all problems were corrected, as urged in a report 5 years ago. Well, you know, things don't... And also, a bunch of their weapons are missing as well. So, makes you wonder, doesn't it? The FBI losing 3 or 4 laptops a month. We don't know what information's on them. They're also losing a bunch of weapons every month. Man, oh man. Well, I don't know. It's the FBI losing weapons and laptop computers. Where are we at here? I'm going to pause for a short break. I'll be back in just a second. Don't go away.
You deserve better. this date, September the 11th, was seared into America's memory.
Oh, look out! Look out!
Today we are safer, but we are not yet safe.
Help me! Somebody help me!
For America, 9/11 was more than a tragedy. It changed the way we look at the world.
Mashed potatoes, gravy, and cranberry sauce!
Oh, my. Georgie's in trouble, isn't he? Ah, he's always in trouble. But I see the chat room is going crazy. Everybody's speaking German and Spanish, and I don't know what all on there. That leaves me out. I'm one of those, you know the old joke. What do you call someone that speaks three languages? Trilingual. What do you call someone who speaks two languages? Bilingual. And what do you call someone who speaks just one language? An American. That's me. Ah, yes. Hey, let's go to the phones. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hey, it's Eureka Dave.
Hi, Dave.
You know, an excellent program, as always. You do have such penetrating insights into this operation. But I'm convinced that they are totally dishonest with us about everything. Everything that you hear is distorted. And so if they say, in effect, they've got two brigades trained, they haven't got a platoon. Because yeah. I think the Iraqis that hook up with the Americans in any form are very likely to get, you know, a bomb going off real close to them. And they've learned that, I think, over and over again, even if they're desperately needing money.
I think we're getting some feedback. Dave, is the speaker close to you there or something?
That's the regular phone.
Okay. All right.
It's not coming too clearly, though, huh?
It's okay now.
Okay. Well, anyway, that was the point that I wanted to make, that we're being lied to about everything all the time. Nothing about this administration is there. They have no plans whatsoever of even training Iraqis to take over.
Oh,
we
man.
Have no plan of yeah. leaving.
Hadn't that it been is. A wild story over the last 4 years up? And, we've got 175,000. No, it's 20,000. No, it's 70,000. I mean, up and down all over the place. They probably told bigger lies about that than just about anything.
Well, I don't know what they've ever been honest with us about on any subject, anyway, anywhere. I mean, these are people that have, as I see it, pure criminals out to rip the public off as bad as they can, out to rob our treasury of everything it has, out to sell off the country to foreign countries to take that money and divide it up among themselves. Hardcore criminals. That's hard to believe that something like this could happen to the country. It couldn't have, I don't think, by any honest process. As you know, I am convinced they are there because they rigged elections. They planned it out and they cheated. They put in place the machinery that would do it for them. And they never would have been reelected. There aren't that many stupid people. You've got a lot of them in your neighborhood, your neck of the woods, but I... Up here...
Oh, yeah, they don't need to rig anything here. They can get 65% of the vote without without even campaigning. It's not a problem here.
How do they work at staying that unaware, that stupid, that counterproductive, that damaging to themselves? How do they do that?
It's not damaging to the people that live around here, Dave.
You don't think they're going to be hurt in the process as this country goes into bankruptcy?
No, they've got their money. Those people with those $30 million mansions down on the Gulf, they're not going to get hurt. Oh, yeah, they might lose a few million. What's that to the billionaires? It doesn't matter. They're not going to get hurt. They always survive. It's like a guy, you know, I saw a guy that owns a jewelry chain around here called, well, I won't mention it, but I saw him being interviewed on TV a while back on our local business channel. And they said, what about Christmas? Did you have a good Christmas this year? And he said, yes, the number of shoppers was down, but our gross sales were up. And the guy said, how do you explain that? And he said, well, you know what they say. During good times, you can sell fancy cars and Rolex watches. And during bad times, you can sell fancy cars and Rolex watches. And I guess that's the way I'd explain that around here. They don't get these people in that income bracket don't get hurt at all. They just don't.
Well, they will be in some ways for sure, because I see the environment being utterly devastated, and they're lying about that too. You know, they don't really think global warming is happening. That's something that's debated among scientists. That's because it's costly to the polluters to have to get honest about that.
Dave, I agree with you on much of what you say. I wouldn't believe George Bush if he swore on a stack of Bibles in front of Jerry Falwell, who's probably who he'd choose to swear on for. I wouldn't believe a word coming out of his mouth ever. And that might sound really cynical, and you sound cynical too when you say that.
Or Cheney, or Rove, or Condoleezza.
No, you're absolutely right. You're a fool if you believe a word that comes out of their mouth. You really are. It's come to that. And geez, I hate to talk like that about some of my fellow Americans, but you are a fool if you believe anything George W. Bush says. It's that simple. And he's proven our point on that.
Well, the secret to solving a problem is to see the problem accurately and clearly. And I'd say you come as close to that as anybody. Most everybody wants to minimize the amount of real harm this administration is doing to this country, to us the people. You see it and you call it in good, clear language, and you're valued very much for that.
Well, thank you, Dave. Appreciate it.
Stay with it, brother.
You know what we might need? I was thinking about this last night. Well, what is it they call, I've forgotten the term. Oh, somebody help me. That's the trouble being in the studio alone. You don't have a producer here to fill you in, make you sound real smart. Oh, and an intervention. What we need here is an intervention. Isn't that what you call it when someone's spiraling out of control and desperately needs help to be brought back to reality? I think it is. Usually it's gambling or drugs or alcoholism that causes one's friends to gather in a living room. You know, you've seen, and you might even have been in on one, and trap the afflicted person into hearing them out. Isn't that what the American people need to do right now with Junior Bush? The problem is that we, the lowly people, don't have the chance to have an audience with Bush. I mean, yeah, we can go down to Washington and protest outside the White House, but security being what it is in Washington, D.C. today, Bush wouldn't even know we're out there. What we really need, and I mean this, what we need is a group of representatives and senators to drive down to Pennsylvania Avenue from both parties and demand to see Bush. Sit him down and convince him that his actions are those of a person crazier than a damn loon. Seriously, the guy is unhinged. 4 years ago, he was whipping up the rhetoric against Saddam Hussein, the WMDs he swore we had, the imminent threat that Iraq posed to the American people, that balsa wood plane flying across the Atlantic, you know, the connection between Al-Qaeda and Saddam, the entire litany that you've all heard against Iraq, the grave and gathering danger posed by Iraq, all of it, was lies, mistakes, and deception. Take your pick, but all of it was wrong. As I've always said, he's either incompetent or the biggest liar that ever lived, one or the other, and I think it's a result of both. It's a mixture of both. The result of his statements and drum beating for war are over 3,000 dead American troops and a $500 trillion debt, which will burden our children and grandchildren from now until kingdom come. And now we find that the Bush administration White House was involved in a massive smear and fear campaign against anyone who dared to tell the truth about the events leading up to the war. The Scooter Libby trial, if nothing else, has pointed out just how damn determined the Junior Bush White House was to conceal the truth from the public at any cost. Their outing of Valerie Plame was an attempt to silence and discredit her husband, Ambassador Joe Wilson. It didn't work. Joe Wilson's credibility is fully intact, no matter what Victoria the Bitch Tensing said on the front page of the Washington Post. I can't believe that woman embarrassed herself with going on the front page of the Washington Post on Sunday with this bullshit that she put out, this big article, and every one of her issues is flat wrong and can be proven to be wrong by a sixth grader. It's unbelievable. But, you know, Wilson He went and investigated the White House's claim of Niger selling yellowcake uranium to Saddam Hussein and found out that it simply didn't happen. He's proven to be absolutely correct on that. And the subsequent action by the White House to smear him are a disgrace to the presidency and the vice presidency. You know, this was willful and unethical and possibly illegal. The actions by this administration taken were to smear those who disagree with them. And now we know, everything's been documented. We know this happened, and yet we see no attempt on their part to come clean with the public. None whatsoever. They will not admit it. And as long as this is the case, it's going to be impossible for the American public to accept any of their words as truth. This is just what Dave was saying. We cannot accept any of their words as truth. Because they have never accepted responsibility for a damned one of their lies and deceptions yet. They've never apologized for any of it. They've never come back and said, I was wrong, I lied, whatever. They never have. How refreshing that would be. Personally, I will never believe another thing that comes out of the mouth of George Bush Jr. or Dick Cheney. Never. Or anybody in that corrupt administration. So, why don't we just get the group together of the representatives and the senators, and I think this intervention's in order. Simply sit Bush and Cheney down and tell them they're no longer wanted by the great majority of the American people. Tell them that they have to leave on their own, or our Congress will make damn sure they leave in disgrace after impeachment proceedings are completed and they're found guilty of betraying the American people. The longer they stay in power, the more damage they do to our nation, and they've got to go as soon as possible, and it's up to our House and Senate members to see that they do just that. I hate to belabor the point, but as long as George Bush and Dick Cheney are in control of this country, we will have no relief from this nightmare that we're in right now. Mark my words, as long as they're in control, we will have no relief. Bush is playing an end game right now. He's playing a stall game. All he wants to do is prolong this war and make damn sure that it's handed off to the next administration, which he knows damn well will be a Democratic administration. He's playing a stall game. And then he'll be able to say, hey, you know, while I was there, we did our best. Now those damn Democrats, they're wanting to cut and run. That's what it's come to. You know it, I know it, he knows it. That's what it's come to. Well, I don't know. But I do find it disconcerting. I'm one of those ones that was the right age during Watergate. I thought of myself as pretty politically astute at that time. I paid close attention to that. As you know, we've had John Dean on the show several times to talk about it. Not talk about that specifically. But I have spoken to John Dean about it. And here we are again. Only, I'm looking at my bookshelf right now, and there's a book sitting over there, Worse Than Watergate by John Dean. Yes, absolutely, it's worse than Watergate. Far worse than Watergate. And yet, nothing is happening from our legislators to take care of the situation. I thought Nixon was bad. In some ways, he was a good president. He was a good foreign policy president. I'll always give him that. But nothing Nixon ever did ever came close to approaching the lying and the deceit and deception and lack of ethics of this administration. Never been an administration in the White House as low life as this bunch. But the problem is, there's never been, the American people has never been this apathetic, I don't think, about getting something done about it. So as our beloved Molly Ivan said, we've got to get out in the streets and bang on our pots and pans, whatever we have to do. God bless Molly Ivan. how fitting it was for that to be one of her very last, if not the last, column that she wrote. We'll have to keep that in mind to bang on her pots and pans. And make noise until we get this stopped. Hey, you've been listening to The Guy James Show here on the Head On Radio Network, and I want to urge you just tune in to all the rest of the programs on the Head On Radio Network as well. The Jeff Allen Wolf Show, John Fox, Dr. Bill, The Cup of Joe Show, Mark Levine, Bob Kincaid, all good radio men, all of them. And you want truth, you want to put forth passionately, you keep listening to Head On Radio Network. We'll be back tomorrow. Don't forget, we're going to have Larry Johnson, and you will enjoy him. I guarantee you, he'll provide a good interview. You're listening to The Guy James Show and the Head On Radio Network. Don't forget, you've heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth. See you, gang.